The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale! Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Bachelorette Wrap Up. I'm Amy, here as always with the lovely Haley Strong. Haley, how are you doing tonight?
Amy, I'm really worried that our listeners are going to catch me coming out of a bar, sitting at the bar with somebody from my past.
I know. That would be, you know, that'd be a sticky situation.
I mean, it would be true because we have Rourke joining us, our good friend. Joined us for a draft one time, has probably joined us a few times throughout our tenure. Is that correct, Rourke?
I actually was going to say, I think I may have drafted and then bounced.
Is that true? I feel like you stopped watching for a while.
I think I did take a break and I'm back and I'm reminded why breaks are needed. I'm so fatigued.
You're telling us.
Yeah. I cannot imagine, you guys. Dude. Oh my God. There's a reason that basketball, football, there's a reason why baseball is exhausting. It's because it's the longest motherfucking season.
Yeah.
This is the longest season of our lives. Why is Bachelor trying to be a 365 day a year event? It's terrible.
We had like 12 weeks off and that's it.
I'm actually shocked it was that much.
Yeah,
same. Might not have been. I must have been.
Well, because wait, do you guys not podcast about Paradise?
No, we do.
Where's that 12 weeks?
Between the Bachelor ending.
And Katie. Got it. Okay. Yeah.
The people have been hearing my voice every week for, I'd say probably 3 years straight.
Haley, I feel like you're that TikTok instead of club, another club, no sleep. You're like podcast, another podcast, no sleep.
I'm like addicted to it. I can't help it. It's like, this sounds bad, but I'm a bit of a commitment phobe, which is shocking coming from somebody who has been in an LTR for as long as I have.
Yeah.
But it's just, when I commit to a bunch of podcasts in a week, I get very anxious. But like when I'm doing them, I'm so, like, I love doing them. But then thinking about any commitment, mm-hmm. I'm like, ooh, I can't believe I have to do that thing. I regret saying yes to that thing because I don't. And then I'm in the middle of it. I'm like, of course, I had to do this thing. It's great. I love it. But
yeah, wasn't that bad. Or, you know, if it was totally, I get that.
Yeah. I don't want people to think we're complaining about podcasting and being here. We're so lucky. We love what we do. It's just, I mean, don't you get sick of stuff sometimes?
Yeah, always.
And we're not sick of each other. That's for damn sure. But it's just
so.
And this episode for me was a bit of a snooze. Like last episode was a little snoozy. I love Michelle. I don't love these guys. I'm having a hard time getting behind any of them.
I want to ask you a question. Separate Michelle as a person from Michelle as the Bachelorette. And as a teacher, I would like you to grade her.
I'm not ready to do that yet. I feel like we haven't gotten enough Michelle as a lead.
Yeah, you're being generous. It's like a solid B to B minus.
taking her as a person out of it, you're saying as a lead. She's not bringing enough to the table.
Correct.
But I feel like she has, like, there's no table for her to bring it to.
I agree with that. But I think that I'm just concerned about the editing in that they are showing us so much more of the men than her. Mm. Right. It's tough.
Yeah, you're right. I'm willing to stay open-minded about a few things. And one of them is Michelle as a lead.
Oh, for sure.
I think I have a hard time not being biased about things, and I like Michelle so much, so I'm always going to be like, yeah, of course she's a great bachelor. I like her. That's just how my brain works. But it's just, like, it was hard for me to put my phone down and pay attention to the episode last night.
Well, before we get into that, there's breaking news. We always love when the news breaks prior to us recording, and this is big news. So speaking of grading, what kind of grade do we give to the past Bachelorette for her relationship status? They are now, Katie and Blake are now broken up. Reactions?
Go ahead. I want to hear this.
I was going to say, like, what were they thinking? Really? What was their plan?
I don't think they had one. Which Clearly. Was with Aunt Leah? Leah? Lisa? Laura?
Yeah, her aunt. Lindsay.
Lindsay. I feel like that was her concern.
Justice for Aunt Lindsay.
Yeah, I think that I relate to Katie in that I also like somebody who is independent. And I think she took that trait a little too far, where you actually have to spend time together if you are going to date someone.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair. Yeah. I'm a nosy little bitch, and I would love to know what the breaking point was. Like, was it that he is currently in Kenya and she had no plans to go there? Because I feel like going into their relationship, she was very much into doing those things. Did he not want her to come?
What's she doing, frankly?
You didn't Hanging hear out with she, other. She did a stand-up comedy set in LA recently. She opened for Whitney Cummings and she did not do well.
I was gonna say, wow, the fact there are actual stand-up comedians screaming right now. Yeah. Holy crap, that's a gift.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I do spend some casual time on Reddit, I did see some comments, which I thought was pretty fair, about, you know, she was mad at Greg for coming on to be an actor, but then she was trying to parlay this into a stand-up comedy career. And I mean, do what you want with the fame and fortune that comes after being the Bachelorette. But it is kind of like a little bit of an interesting point.
Yeah, very.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whenever I would see her, she was hanging out with, like, all these other Bachelorette alums, and I was just kind of like, well, he is in Canada, they can't always hang out, but yeah, I thought they
also
would have
doesn't
more of a
she
plan.
Live with a guy from her season?
Oh, I don't know.
Or did he just help her find that apartment?
It maybe just helped her find that apartment because she moved to San Diego like every other Bachelorette contestant, and a bunch of them already live there.
Right. I could swear they're roommates. And I remember thinking it takes a absurdly secure person to tolerate that.
Yeah, if they're not roommates, they are. She is hanging out with other guys from either her season or Claire's season, I think. So
yeah, it's this one. John Hershey.
Oh, yeah. So that was a guy from her season that was, like, I guess there was a spoiler for a while that he was who she ended up with, but she, like, barely knew him. But then that, like, made them become friends or something. So,
oh, how odd.
Yeah.
How odd.
But I could have sworn that, like, a week ago it was maybe on her story or something, but she was just like, all these rumors, you know, like making it seem like everything was good when they would have already been broken up at that point. So, yeah.
This is a loaded question. Are you surprised
by the breakup?
Yeah.
No, because statistically, that would be crazy to be surprised.
Yeah.
I'm surprised at how soon it is. Because I think we thought they were a good match. Like, we wanted to root for them, but yeah. definitely surprised by how quick it is. You know, couldn't even let Michelle's season finish up. But so where do you see these? Tough. Do you see Katie and Blake being a Paradise contestant, either of them, both of them next year?
I could see, you know what? I didn't think about that, but I could see both of them separately. Mm-hmm. Or I could see everyone just trying to forget about Katie. Mm. I feel like we enjoyed her season, but I feel like a lot of people did not. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it just seemed like they were both destined.
Did you like that season?
I felt like she, you know, I do hate to use this phrase, but I have a feeling she was for the wrong reasons.
Okay. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't mean I didn't get a kick out of certain moments. There's always good, interesting stuff to watch on these shows, but yeah, I often find, for me, a good litmus test is, do I want to follow them on Instagram after? Mm-hmm. Zero interest.
Yeah
Would you, if she did another stand-up set in LA, how many dollars would you be willing to pay to see it? Over under 15 and a half?
Oh, over.
Okay.
Yeah. I would also be interested in who was in the audience.
Oh, okay. Good call. Great call.
Interesting the scene. Yeah. Yeah. I had seen the headlines about the breakup, like Katie Thurston, you know, breaks up with Blake after a stand-up set, but I don't think there was anything, like, she didn't say anything in the stand-up set or anything. It was just the Instagram announcement, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Because that would have been, then you could really point to for the wrong reasons. If it was like a stand-up, then like that's where she announced it.
After stuff. Can you imagine?
Also, the show is just like plummeting. What do you guys like? I don't understand how to conceptualize this show, because the Instagram followers are bananas, and yet premiere over premiere, down ratings, bad. So where is the disconnect? How are people connecting with this show statistically?
I don't know. Like, I think there's just a very like core fan base, and I think they spend most of their time on Instagram rather than Twitter, and they're like I feel bad generalizing, but it's like the middle America who you're like, you know, the people who are bored on Monday nights, or, you know, maybe people who are not as jaded by reality television as the three of us have been over the last 10 years.
Right. I just like don't get the discrepancy between, like, why are the ratings so bad? Anyway, whatever.
Is it just a Bachelorette thing? Like, The Bachelor always does so much better.
Well, yeah, it's tough to say because we haven't had a Bachelor in a little bit. But Katie's premiere was lowest ever. And then Bachelor in Paradise became the lowest ever. And now this is the lowest ever.
Yeah, so
they keep benchmarking for lowest ever.
I wonder if it's just that meteoric rise is over. Like, you know, there's that
quarantine
years?
Fatigue, like.
Yeah,
Haley, we've been doing so many shows now, like, where it's like we can't keep up, whereas before it was like desperate for content.
That's a good point.
Other news, Chris Harrison and Lauren Zima are engaged, so working that, building up his positive PR, I guess.
Yeah, do you think he used a manly band to propose to her?
I don't know if he's still tied to the
defunct collection. Yeah,
the womanly band.
It was a beautiful ring. I wonder if he got it from Neil Lane. Like,
I was gonna say, that's the question. Thank you.
Is it on the side? Yeah, I didn't see anyone tagged, but
I could still see that being buds.
Yeah. Hopefully it's friendly rivalry. Also sad news, Sarah Trott from Matt James' season, her father passed away. She's one who left because she, you know, felt compelled to go back. I believe he had ALS. Mm. So.
No, that's sad news. I saw that.
Very sad.
Yeah. Anything else that you guys saw in the last, since we last discussed Bachelorette?
No, I feel like there's all that, you know, the headlines were dominated.
Yeah. So let's get into this episode.
Yeah.
All right, so we start off, we're doing a school date. So the teacher theme group date. And Haley, this reminded me a lot of I don't know where we've seen this first, but it reminded me of that one show that we watched where the woman was trying to have a baby.
Oh my God.
And they had a date like very similar to this. And I feel like The Bachelor could freely steal from that show and no one would really know except us.
Rourke, did you ever check out the Fox hit TV show of 2020, Labor of Love?
I genuinely considered it, but did not.
Starring Marcus of Survivor Gabon.
Hosted by Kristen Davis of Sex and the City 1 and 2.
Yes, and whatever show is coming out soon.
My favorite part of this was that these are hired actor children.
Totally.
Like, these are not her students. They are filming this in Palm Springs. Yes. Like, and so I just love that, like, that I think is part of what, like, there was no sort of like play between her and the kids. Like, the rapport was very low. This is affecting my grading. This is what I'm saying.
Yeah, they were all mugging for the camera and making like huge reactions. Like, I'm sure they were coached very well about, you know.
Oh, for sure.
Roll your eyes.
A star.
Yeah.
Yeah, central casting really found some in her.
Yes.
Do you think they did a better job casting these children or the woman who had to kiss Connor at the VIP finale or the Bachelorette finale?
Definitely the children.
Mm.
Yeah. Hard to get worse than the other one. But yeah, the school date. I mean, it's a classic. It's even more so a classic when they're trying to do as much stuff on site as humanly possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have to at least, you know, give them credit. They did not put her in like a stereotypical schoolgirl or school teacher outfit. She was just wearing a cute casual outfit. So give them credit for that. So I wouldn't put it past them. So Romeo on this date is like, I feel like there's always that guy that thinks is going to excel at the date because he knows all the answers and everything. And then we had Peter starting to show his true colors in the game of musical chairs. So did they need a referee? What did you think of this? More violent.
Peter's just not a good hang.
Yeah, Peter sucks.
I don't care how much pizza he makes or how good his pizza is. Like, I'm passing. Hard pass. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think that's the move to like make that a contact sport. Like, just have fun with it. And she called it out kind of in her ITM. Like, yeah, this musical chair is bringing to light different qualities, not all positive. So we can read between the lines there. And then they had the spelling test and. And words like protein, not everybody got that right. Brandon struggled with the spelling. Not everyone's strong suit, but there was a moment where they had to spell the word narcissist. And Will took that opportunity on his whiteboard to write the name Peter, because Peter was rubbing everyone the wrong way. Peter did not take kindly to this and fueled a whole feud after this, but guessing we're all Team Will on this one, or did he cross a line by doing that?
Would I have done it personally? Probably not. I would have just misspelled narcissist like a chump. I thought it was kind of funny, and I thought Peter just took it way too hard. It's a joke, but chill. Like, Michelle doesn't think any differently of you. What Will is saying on his whiteboard is not any indicator. Like, it's Michelle already hates you. So, like, this doesn't matter.
According to him, he was shining on that group date.
True.
Exactly. But that's the thing. I do think if you're on this show, you need to approach these with high energy. You got to be game. Mm-hmm. And I am sure he was telling himself that's what he was doing. And the problem is he just very much overshot the mark.
Yeah. Some men are just not good at things like, you know, being. Not normal, but like acceptable.
Yeah. Yeah. He probably thought it was like, oh, I'm just showing that I'm having fun and I'm competitive. But it wasn't like there was even anything to really win from this game that I recall. Not like Correct. The basketball date later on where you could win time. And then we have the second part of the date is when the feud with Will and Peter kind of comes to a head. What I liked, which maybe this makes Michelle not a great lead, but what I liked is that when they were fighting and Michelle's in conversation with another guy, I think Olu, she doesn't leave. She doesn't like say, oh, hang on, I got to go see what's going on. She brings it up later on with Peter.
I have a question. Yeah. Could she actually hear them? Because that could just be a sound mixing thing you do in editing.
That's true.
Because everybody's mic is on a different line. They just could put those two sound lines on that scene. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, totally. Yep.
So she could have just been informed that they were, yeah, that he was yelling and brought it up as if she, like, I heard there was yelling or I heard yelling. Yeah, that's a good point, too. Because it did strike me, like, when is she going to say, like, sorry, Olu, gotta go, like, can you hang on a second? So she didn't interrupt. Because
I think in that situation, I think if I were her, I would have said, what's going on? That sounds fucking crazy. I'll deal with that later. Continue what you were saying. We just had to acknowledge that, like, something psychotic's happening. Right. I feel like it's weird not to acknowledge what's happening around you. Yeah. And like, it's so stark.
Yeah, that's fair.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
We see her have a moment with Brandon.
This was bizarre.
I thought so too. He's like one of those, it seems like he's coming on really strong, but she seemed to be receptive to it. Like she called him out on having these really cheesy lines, but they still made out. So I don't know. What are you guys thinking?
I'm not buying it. I don't know. It just seems a little, I don't know. A lot of these guys just aren't doing it for me. And I'm sorry, Brandon's just one of them.
I totally agree. This would completely make me cringe and die. But I almost felt like her, when she sat down with him, from the moment that they sat down, I felt like her body language was leaning in for a kiss. And so then when he said that, it's like it, even that didn't rise to the level of ruining it, because then like her, she was just like curling into him the whole time. It was wild. And so she sort of pulled away when she was saying, that's an absurd thing to say. You don't know me well enough for that. Like, that's crazy. And then he kind of recovers and then she leans in for the makeout, which is, I feel like, what she wanted from the moment they sat down. And so I don't, maybe I'm missing something, but there seems to be, I mean, I am missing something because I do not feel it at all, but there seems to be an attraction between them.
Yeah. Maybe it was kind of like a, hey, I was already like, we were already doing good. I was going to tease you a little bit for like not knowing how to spell, but like, please don't ruin it by like these really cheesy lines you're doing. Like he literally said, I'm just trying to remember every single part of you so I can go home and have a dream about you and wake up and realize my dream girl is real.
Amy,
I can't imagine hearing that and not immediately getting up to leave and quitting my tenure as bachelorette, like on the spot.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Like, I would just have to be like, thank you, but based on that, I know we could never be compatible, that you'd be willing to say something like that in front of millions of people.
Right. She said, not a good speller whatsoever, but there are definitely sparks flying with Brandon. Yeah, so we're not getting it, but...
To each their own.
Yeah. So this fight with Will and Peter is... I guess Peter was just saying, like, it was really inappropriate for you to call me a narcissist. I was defenseless.
Oh my God. What do you mean you're... Oh my God. Defenseless. Who cares? What are you defending? Like, Michelle does not care. She does not like you enough to care. You are getting the pity rose. I wish you could see that. God, not even the pity rose, the drama rose, the producer rose.
Totally.
She clearly hates him.
Yeah. I mean, both Peter and Will move on. So I guess, like, hey, it's Bachelor, Bachelorette 101. Like, if you want to stay a few weeks and maybe get a paradise invite, and you know you have no shot, I guess start these petty feuds, but over, you know, people that she might have had a connection with. But back at the guy's suite, we get our first one-on-one date invite. And what I thought was odd about this is usually there's not, like, the only drama around a guy getting a group date is just the other guys wanting it, or an individual date, and thinking that they were going to get it and just being jealous. But Jamie's reaction, did you think this was out of line, Rourke, when he's saying, a big portion of this first part is, are you right for me? And then he says, personally, I have a wild life. I travel to third world countries with a day's notice by myself. That, like, living on the edge life is not for everyone. I have to make sure she's right for me.
I mean, I think that's completely true. Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, and, like, it's almost, he's saying something that he's not really supposed to say, right? They're all supposed to be there for her no matter what, bar none. And yet, dating is a mutual selection process. And so, I think that's entirely fair. I also just wanted to say quickly, my favorite part of the Peter confrontation was he was very upset that he had been called a narcissist in front of the children.
Oh, yes.
Not in front of the children. And he did it in front of the kids. That fucking slayed me. Right. Anyway, okay.
Yeah, not you, like, shoving all the guys around in front of the kids. You know, like, not playing by the rules, but a narcissist in front of the kid.
Yeah, I have to agree with Rourke that it is very much like, why shouldn't that be a consideration for the people on the show? I would say that the guys didn't like that he almost felt entitled to that first date because he feels like he should be able to. I got whiplash from Jamie this episode.
Yeah, I was gonna say, when you said he got the first one-on-one, I was like, no, that's the guy who was, like, crazy at the end. Same guy. Yeah. I looked at my notes.
We got a lot
of Jamie content this episode. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean,
I would like to know if you guys have ever done an activity and thought about why it was like relationships.
Never once in my life have I ever considered it. Like, hiking.
I only think about, like, it when I watch the show. Like, what can they do this time?
What is this hike? Why is skydiving like a relationship? Why is scaling a building like a relationship?
Or
why is hot tubbing in the middle of a desert like a relationship?
Have you ever thought of, like, a certain hotel is the perfect place to fall in love? A certain resort, a certain city?
What's it? Indian Wells. Just what I always hope for. A hotel with a tacky atrium where they seem to do all the rose ceremonies for some reason. Was there no ballroom?
Right.
Great question.
Yeah, I was wondering if maybe he was doing the kind of, like, trying to downplay it a little bit, like, in front of the guys, like, not make it this big deal, like, oh, like, she sees something great in me. It's just like, oh, I'm going to be, you know, seeing if she's right for me too, but just maybe his tone or the way it came off, like, I've got this crazy life and I can, you know, fly to Ecuador to have chocolate. And then you know, is she right for me? That was almost more like the ego behind it too.
Rourke, you're a big planner. Would you ever fly somewhere with like 2 days notice?
It's funny you ask this. I don't know if you know this, but my boyfriend now is a very last minute person. And so he will make international trips with about 2 weeks notice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I am letting go.
That's great. I would be interested in doing something like that. My current husband, I don't think he could fully let go of his Capricorn energy and able to do that. Like, he'll always come to me and be like, okay, here's a list of all the things I want to do. Here's hotels we could stay at. Here's restaurants we could eat at. Here's this and that and that. And this is how much money we'll need. And we'll do this. And I'm always just like, okay, sure. Yeah. Or we could just walk around a circle and see what happens. He's like, what do you mean? What do you mean? Yeah,
I will say the flaw in if Jamie's being serious about it being a true developing country on a moment's notice, that is not sustainable, just in the sense that sometimes you need vaccines, sometimes you need visas. That's not realistic.
No, I would have to agree with you there.
Yeah. Back at the after party for this school date, we see some other guys kind of get their one-on-one time. Rourke, what are your opinions on Rick, the guy who came with the silver platter night one and this time brought like a little Mad Libs?
I thought the Mad Libs was cute. It's a little contrived in the sense that, like, can we just like talk, and if we want to kiss, we'll kiss. However, do you guys think he looks like Derek Peth?
Oh,
now that you pointed out, yes, yeah. Yes, I do.
Like a little definitely. Bit sweatier, but definitely the resemblance is there. But yeah, he seems a little nervous to me, generally, which is fine. I would be too. That'd be me. But you know, he seems like a cutie. I'd keep him around.
Yeah.
Do you see him making it to Fantasy Suites?
No.
Cool.
Is that a choice that you've made?
I, Rourke, for $5 million, I could not tell you who's on my draft team.
Okay.
Yeah, and maybe kind of that Derek energy. He was a little bit, I feel like, more reserved on JoJo season 2. Yeah, Michelle was impressed by the Mad Libs. I thought, like, he likes his gimmicks, but it kind of worked, you know, like, he crafted it so that, like, they're filling in phrases, and then at the end it was like, and at the end they shared a blank. So, you know, what is she going to fill it in with? Obviously, kiss, so...
To that end, I like that he left it open where if she wasn't comfortable, she would have said a hug. You know, like it gives her a lot of leeway to say what she wants out of the interaction, which is an honorable thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And if he is more nervous, then it allowed him to kind of throughout filling that out. He could see that she's chiming in with answers like they have a lot of chemistry and they have a spark. So he could see that she's on board with him. So then we find out who, well, first Michelle pulls Peter aside, and I saw a lot of chatter online that you can really see her teacher skills, like her de-escalation techniques coming out when she's talking to him, like, so how do you feel about what happened here? And is this, you know, something that would continue? I mean, you might get angry at me sometimes. Are you going to yell? Maybe take some time and center yourself, and, you know, then you and I can reconnect later. So
I love this for her.
Yeah,
it's well played. What do you guys like in arguments? Are you guys yellers?
No.
I'm a crier, and I will get heated, and Ethan will shut down, and then so I get frustrated that he's like not communicating at all, and so yeah. I will get a little yelly, but it's not my go-to.
Yeah,
I don't think I've
retreat.
Ever yelled.
Yeah, I'll make like a snide comment or something. I'll be like, all right, fine. Maybe that's all. That's how it's going to be.
Yeah, Ethan will just give me the silent treatment, which really frustrates me.
Oh, that's tough.
Just tell me why you're mad at me. I know you're mad. Just tell me.
Uh. Let's see. Group date rose goes to Brandon. So I don't know who else was really in competition for it then, but
everyone on this date is so boring. Yeah, like, oh,
but this is why I'm saying I think she's into him, like physically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the next day they have their Joshua Tree, the one-on-one date with Jamie. And yeah, at this point I am thinking like, Jamie's on my draft, and I thought it was looking pretty good throughout this date. She likes his confidence and that he's kind of the one encouraging her as she's rock climbing. And she made a statement where she said that usually she's the one that's kind of encouraging or bringing up the guy in the relationship. So it was refreshing that he was the one coaching her.
I also thought about it for a hot Sekaroo. And I just don't think Michelle's career will fit well with what Jamie wants to do. Like, she gets like 3 months summer vacation, sure, and 1 week in the spring. But like, she can't just be like, sure, it's October 27th. Why don't we go to Ecuador for a week for fun?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like they didn't really talk about it that much. Like, they didn't talk about kind of his current job as a biotech CEO or what. Like, for what he said to the guys, I feel like we didn't get that conversation of, like, I'm going to see if she's right for my lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
But at dinner, we do get a very emotional story. I was not expecting this on the second episode. Usually, you know, there is kind of an emotional story on that first night, but yeah, this was Jamie talks about his upbringing, and I've noticed a lot of the guys kind of will compare. They'll talk about, well, Michelle, you mentioned that, you know, you've had this great example. I didn't grow up with that. And so she made a statement like, I know that you don't have to grow up with that to achieve that. And he talks about that he had a, his mom was 18 when she gave birth to him. His father was 21. They weren't married, but that he had a good childhood, did well in school. But then when he was around 12, his mom had a lot of, or maybe that's just when he noticed it, his mom had a lot of issues with mental health and things started spiraling down. And when he was 12, he saw his mother attempt to slit her wrists. And that's when he and his sister would, somebody was always at home and like kind of watching out for his mother and not attending school. So he didn't have enough, you know, in school time to graduate. I don't know if he ultimately did, but and then when Jamie was 24, his mom died by suicide.
It's so sad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody, just the thought of a poor 12-year-old having to, like, knowing what that means and like, yeah, having to watch your mother like that, I can't imagine. And you know, I'm glad that he's been able to reach a place where he's accepted it, and from our view it doesn't seem like he harbors any resentment towards his mother, as she was fighting a battle, and you know, it sucks. Yeah. And it's so sad to hear.
Mm-hmm. I will say they seem to have cast people who have, I mean, I guess they couldn't have predicted the Joe situation with the coach, mm-hmm, but a lot of these people have like school related trauma.
Mm. Interesting.
Which,
oh,
she is more likely to inherently connect with.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously she's going to, you know, sort of have feelings about, I mean, anyone would have a reaction to the story that Jamie shared, but mm-hmm, then also, like, I'm gonna be honest, I don't know that I would have, like, I would have been able to be there and listen to what Joe was going through, but I do not think that I would have understood the loss of a coach, whereas I think Michelle 100% got it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true. Haley, there is a private concert on the stage.
Oh my God. I saw that and I was like, you gotta be kidding me. You gotta be kidding me.
Caroline Jones Anybody heard of her before?
Congrats to Caroline.
That's a negative.
Like, Bachelor producers, for a dollar, name a non-country music act.
Yeah.
Like, please. Like, maybe a pop? R&B? Rock?
I think Katie Season got that one, but only because he contacted them. I forget his name, but...
Is it just that, like... I don't know, a country act can be two people and it not be a big deal. They're like, there's no setup, it's just like an acoustic guitar and a plug into a speaker. Like, is that what the scoop is? I don't know, I just don't get it. Please help me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, well, I love their chemistry here, but yeah, it's not our favorite type of date. He obviously gets the rose, and from his bio it said he had never watch the show, which I'm suspect on. Well, I'm not sure, because with what transpires later, because if he watched a lot of it, he might not have done what he did, or so I guess I buy it. I guess I buy that he hasn't seen much. What do you guys think?
Do I buy it? I guess so. It did seem suspect of kind of like the drama he was starting a little bit, and that it felt like he knew that he was causing drama, right?
Yeah, but maybe it's just like he didn't see.
Maybe it's just like a natural thing. He loves some drama.
Maybe.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he seems in a like. It's a reason I liked Hannah Brown, which is that he comes across as for television kind of unpolished. Mm-hmm. Like, he just says what's coming to his mind without thought of, is this going to be what the telegenic thing to say is, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so I think it's entirely that checks out. Does that just mean is it bad strategy? Is it not having seen it and just being yourself? And that means you step in it sometimes, you know, it's tough to say.
Yeah. So as you mentioned, Rourke, we do see Joe have a tough situation where he's FaceTiming his mom and she's delivering the news that, one of his mentors, one of his coaches, named Ken Novak Sr., passed away. And this is an interesting introduction to, the next group date, because we didn't see them, as far as I know, get the group date card. It's just Joe saying, we're about to go on this basketball date, and I think my coach would be the type of person who would want me to go out there and hoop. And so it's something that he's going to end up sharing with her. And we find out more about his basketball background that apparently we hear when they go to the date. It's they have two WNBA players there. And Derica Hamby and Diamond DeShields. And we have Michelle in an ITM saying, like, I don't think these guys know, like, Joe's background. And I was thinking she was going to say something about, like, how they connected, how they DM'd, but that he was named Minnesota's Mr. Basketball in 2011. She was named, she's like, and I was Minnesota's Miss Basketball, except I was the runner up that same year. So they really have like these connections, like,
whoa, that's so weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I was starting to think, like, oh, did they meet
back then
a lot longer ago than we thought?
Was she harboring a crush for him this whole time?
I think so. And I, you know what I think happened is, like, he came across her, like, Explorer page, and she clicked on it, and she followed him because she recognized him. Yeah. And then just, like, slid into his DMs. They had a couple messages. He ghosted her, et cetera, et cetera. Like, that's kind of what I think happened.
Yeah, I was going to say, because something that we're missing is, why did she slide into this guy's DMs?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I would agree with you, and I was a little perplexed, but I think the reason now that I'm seeing is that she recognized him from this Mr. Basketball thing, and she thought he was looking pretty good still.
Yeah. And she could, that's a totally easy line. Like, hey, were you like, you know, like, were you like in 2011, you know, you look familiar or something. So
I know double familiar.
Haley knows this, but so my boyfriend, Amy, he and I went to elementary school together.
Oh my gosh.
And then we matched on Bumble. I did not recognize him. We had not seen each other in 20 years.
Did he recognize you? Like, you have a unique name.
Yes, he did. Yeah, because I have a unique name. So he knew immediately. And I did not realize that he knew. Just because, like, the way he brought it up was bizarre. Okay. And so I was confused and was like, what the fuck is this guy talking about? And just, like, moved on. Yeah. And then he finally was like, no, we went to elementary school together.
Like, is this guy trying to steal my passwords? Like, why is he asking about my elementary school?
I love that story so much. That's such, like, a story we love.
It's like a rom-com thing. Like,
yeah.
Oh, it's so cool. Cool.
Yeah, I you know what? Joe's growing on me. I wanted to be a little more mad at him, but I just find him super cute. I find him sweet. I really like their chemistry, and I just I'm digging them. And when they were playing their, like, little one-on-one in front of everybody else, it really did feel like they were the only two people in the room.
I completely agree.
Yeah, they had the banter. They had that competitive, like, they were just on the same level playing. And the guys, like, totally were picking up on this, which is why I think it all spiraled with, you know, at least the guys on this group date were starting those, like, feeling those rumors.
I have a quick question.
Yeah.
If in the end she ends up with Joe, does this season feel like a waste of time?
Is it kind of like the Katie Blake thing? Like, where it's like, okay, hey, they were DMing. It's kind of like, oh, this is obvious. But she didn't know he was coming on.
No.
It seemed like it was a few years ago, or
I strongly suspect they don't.
Okay. I also don't totally get the vibe that they do end up together. I'm just curious as to if it feels like, oh, this was a waste of time. She could have just slid into his DMs again, or he could have slid back into her DMs and been like, hey, sorry.
True.
Get busy.
I guess the story that if I were them, I would craft if they end up together would be, I needed the second chance with her, and this was the only way to get it. I am so happy she welcomed me back, and I cannot believe I blew it early. Right. You know, you got to tell that story.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Because who knows what even his situation was when she DM'd him. Like, he could have been seeing somebody and maybe didn't want to reveal that, but just kind of message back and forth. She said it was only like two messages. So I don't even know if you call that ghosting at that point, and just sort of like fades out. But yeah, it just seemed like kind of awkward for the other guys watching it. But yeah, I was living for it. I thought it was really cute. And then they split the guys into two teams for a 5-on-5. I need your take on this announcer they had, because I was sure that they added this guy in post because he was never seen with them.
He was not in the same room.
Okay.
He was absolutely added in post. There's no way he wasn't.
But then the bumper at the end was him roasting them.
I don't know. Maybe he was in a different room and he just did it. I do not know, but you're right. It did not feel like for one single second he was there at the time.
Okay. I very much agree.
It was a local news anchor. It was a very strange choice. Like, they couldn't get some kind of
a local news anchor.
Yeah.
Oh, I just assumed he was like part of production.
Yeah, I think whoever was on like the Channel 5 or whatever, the ABC affiliate, I think they grabbed that person.
That's brutal.
Yeah, but he got a lot of airtime. So yeah, that was really weirdly done.
Rest in peace, Fred Willard.
Right?
Oh. Do you think Fred Willard would have come back if Chris Harrison wasn't there?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question.
I don't think he had any loyalty to him. But
yeah,
I feel like they could have got somebody else. And then I was sure that Joe's team was going to win because he's like the practically pro level. But they must have matched it pretty evenly. Nate, the tallest guy, was on the other side. I love Michelle kind of calling him out. She's like, Nate, you're not that far from the net. Like, you shouldn't be missing it. But
Michelle has great chirp game.
Yeah.
Like, she is not afraid to mess with the guys a little bit.
So Haley, I was listening.
That gets an A.
Yeah. I was listening to Charlene's podcast that she does with her husband. So Charlene from Juan Pablo's season. And she said that the reason Nate is not a star player is because he's Canadian, and that in Canada, it's just not emphasized or funded. You know, she's like, it's totally that he's from Winnipeg if he was in the U.S., like, he would be dominating. Do you align with that?
Yeah. So, yeah, sports just aren't nearly to the scale they are in the States here. I mean, of course, there are some Canadians who do make it big, but they end up going to school in the States. Like Andrew Wiggins, I think, went to high school in the States to begin with after his basketball acumen was noticed. Mm-hmm. If you play basketball in university in Canada, it's not like that big of a deal. Like, it's coolsy, but it's,
yeah.
I mean, we're not talking about Chris G, who was a university athlete for the Mount St. Vincent Mystics, you know, home of my degree.
He's also a tall guy. So
also a tall guy.
Yeah, so Joe's team loses. So those guys are not going to get time, but there is an MVP award.
Producer intervention. We can't let Joe go.
Oh my God. This was like, producers have been so heavy handed this season. It's been infuriating. No, just let Joe go home. Like, do it. Or have Michelle be like, I really want Joe to come along on this date.
Yeah, like,
Oh, the MVP goes to Joe. Like, this was just so like, oh my God, of course.
Yeah, it's like a TV show where the characters never actually die. You gotta have actual stakes on this shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't put any stakes in these competition dates anymore. It's like they can do whatever they want. Like, they'll invite everybody if they don't get like the mix of guys that they want. So yeah, they definitely should. Because then they could have, you know, a moment at the cocktail party. She could pull him away and say, like, gosh, like, you were the MVP. Like, I really wished you had been on that date or something, you know. But it fuels all the rumors, you know, because the four other guys go back and talk about him. And this must have been when Jamie kind of gets looped in. But at the cocktail party, Joe talks with her about the news that he got about his coach passing away. The coach was not, he was like 90 something years old, so it wasn't like probably unexpected, but just to get the news in the house. And she like totally gets it. Like, she probably like maybe even knows who that coach was.
Probably. That's kind of what I was thinking too.
Yeah, good point.
So I like this line. She's like, I do feel like we have this level of understanding. I don't know if it's basketball. I don't know if it's Minnesota. I don't know if it's both. And Joe says, I feel it too. And they kiss. So I could see that he would have that advantage of just like that familiarity, that she might not know him really well, but just they have this base level of like that.
They have similar touch points to go back to. That really none of the other guys have. Like, I mean, we heard a lot of the guys mention basketball in their preview bios, but nothing like this.
Right.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Yeah, so then the other guys are back at the house talking about Joe, who was the MVP. And we also see on the date, Nate have a moment with Michelle making out against a wall. He is not kind of getting into the rumors, feeling, I think it's when the guys like feel confident, then they're good. If the guys have nothing going on, then
I very much like Nate's face too.
Yeah,
he's cute.
Very cute. Let's see. group date rose goes to Joe. So setting up more of that.
What a shock. Yeah. Oh, the guy who got the MVP medal getting the group date rose. Who could have predicted?
Exactly. So it seems like the ghosting drama that she was questioning him about night one, she seems to have put that behind her. And then we get to the cocktail party. So we get a few little mini dates here before all the drama unfolds about Joe. The taste test, the apple taste test. Haley, how do you think you could do? Can you tell the difference between a Granny Smith and a Fuji apple if you were blindfolded?
I think I could pick a Granny Smith apple out against any other kind of apple.
Yeah, I feel like.
I could pick a Honeycrisp apple outside of any apple. The rest of them, I don't know because I don't like them.
Yeah.
I love Honeycrisp apples. Don't love any other kind.
How about a pizza versus lasagna?
Thank you. I was like, wait, we're not talking about the egregious offense committed in this mini date. Where apparently this man just like hasn't eaten food before. It's psychotic. He also says he got over lactose intolerance.
He's like, wait, is this cheese? Is this cheese? Oh no, I'm over it. Like that. Yeah. Trying to save face, I guess. Oh God, it made me laugh
so hard. This guy is just a bit of a moron, but he's like a fun moron.
Yeah, and we saw that clip. Like, he's going to be streaking at some point, right? So,
yeah.
Yeah, Michelle seems into it, but yeah, that seems like it'll be an issue if he does not know basic foods. And then, all right, let's get into this whole Jamie, Joe. Let's see, who else was involved in this? Martin. Martin is kind of bringing up, it seems like they know each other from before.
I'm confused here. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to understand what exactly Jamie is tattling and what is him sharing something that he actually personally experienced and therefore is the rat himself. Like, I'm just confused.
Yeah. So for those strange. Who are... listeners only, not viewers. Jamie,
yeah, break it down.
Jamie Sorry. Mentioned to some of the other guys that a friend of his who lives in Minnesota and is a big fan of The Bachelor was at a bar, and his friend walks out of the bar and sees somebody walk in and was like, oh, that person looks familiar. And then he walks back into the bar, sits with his girlfriend, and the girlfriend's like, oh, that's Michelle. She's the next Bachelor. And she was sitting with a guy, and he was like, oh, my buddy is going to be on this season or something like that. And then his friend told him this, and I feel like we're reaching here.
Mm-hmm. At first, I was wondering if Jamie was lying about this whole scenario, like my friend in Minnesota. Also,
is the implication that she was dating somebody Joe?
That was my understanding that he was trying to describe Joe.
But then why does he come to her by saying, I don't care? Lie.
Yeah.
But everybody else seems really whipped into a lather about all this gossip and rumors. And it's like, but you put those balls in motion, right?
Yeah, I mean, other guys were talking about that. It seems like they know each other. But he's the one that had the information that, you know, before he came on the show, his friend had talked to somebody else and said, like, oh, she's already booed up. And one, why didn't he just mention that on their one-on-one date if that was a concern of his? And two, like, yeah, why is he telling Michelle, yeah, they had heard that... you were already booed up with somebody, and like, he never said that it was his friend, right? He just said like,
no, it says my friend from Minnesota.
Okay. He told her that part.
Yeah.
So I feel like if I was Michelle, I'd be like, well, why didn't you bring this up to me earlier? But yeah, he's the one, he could have kept that all to himself and none of these other guys would be dwelling on that. And I think it's just like a matter of one more episode that he gets found out, because he specifically told that same story to one of the guys. Right. And they could just say like, well, Jamie's the one that told me that.
Right. But that's why I was surprised. I mean, maybe it actually probably is smart in the group setting where she was like, okay, who is it? Yeah. Dead silence.
Yeah, nobody. What was interesting, too, is like when she brought it up to the group and saying, like, okay, I just want to make sure, like, you know, people might be questioning me. And she spells out there, you know, maybe I've known Joe before, but we just messaged and that was it. I've never met anyone before the other night when you all arrived. But why didn't it seem like a lot of the guys had no clue what she was even talking about? Like, I think.
Yeah, no.
Everyone
except like five people were like, what is going on? And she left and she was like, oh, nobody has any questions, which I don't know. I felt like it was a little unfair, but you know, she was a little pissed off in the moment, which don't blame her.
Yeah.
But then all the guys were like, what is going on? Can someone fill us in here?
I think the move would have been to maybe say that in front of Michelle. So it'd be like, listen, I'm no part of this. Like,
yeah,
just want to clear up that, like, I don't even know what this is referring to. So, you know, not to like sort of stand out, but just to sort of like, I don't know, separate from the drama, because she's lumping everybody into it. So of course she cancels the cocktail party. So we see Tayshia and Caitlin come announce that. But yeah, the guys, once she leaves, the guys are all talking about it, trying to figure out, and they're on this mission to figure out who did this. But I love like the scenes of like Nate talking to Jamie, like, you get it, right? Like, they're just like, Jamie's pulled into all these conversations. Like, obviously it's not going to be the guy that was on the one-on-one. Like, why would he would be confident, he has the rose. Like, it's not gonna be him that brought this up. So I was wondering if like maybe some of the other guys, like Martin, were wondering, like, could she be talking about me, since they were talking about it? Like, did she say somebody told me this, or just that she had heard that the guys were talking about it? Because like, if she could have heard it from a producer or something, maybe they're like, oh, like, she could be mad at me for questioning it.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he has a way out. Jamie has a way out to get around this. But yeah, it was really odd for me that he was the one fueling it. You know, I wanted to really like Jamie, and now I'm like so conflicted, because I guess it's a smart move. Like, he's now like her trusted confidant. Like, she didn't seem to have a negative reaction to him bringing it up to her, but it doesn't usually go well for this guy, like Aaron.
No, it certainly doesn't, nor do I truly think he never like cares that much. I think he's here for an adventure, right? Like, that's what it feels like.
Yeah, maybe. So yeah, the cocktail party is canceled. Got to do this a few times a season, so they found their opportunity.
I was getting real worried where we weren't even going to get a rose ceremony. Oh, yeah.
At least we have that. So let's see. Who do we lose tonight? We lose Hardeep. Give him a follow on Instagram. Very attractive.
That one hits the heart, you know. We're losing
the sweet guys, I think. Like, they're not causing drama, like, in favor of keeping Peter and Will around. PJ, who actually won the musical chairs and had the, like, great entrance with the fire truck. We saw them playing bags, cornhole in this episode a little bit, I think, like a mini date. So didn't get much of him, but I was excited to see a little more of him. Alec, we lost. And let me see. Daniel, the other, both firefighters, I think we lost, right? So
yeah,
I guess that's not her thing. Yeah. So, and then coming into the ceremony, Brandon, Jamie, and Joe.
Thank you for your sacrifices, gentlemen.
Yeah, exactly. yeah, and then we talked a little bit about that closing scene where it's just the basketball date again, and the local announcer is like seeming to come up with like wacky facts about the guys that weren't real facts or something. So it was not as hilarious as Caitlin and Tayshia and Michelle made it seem, in my opinion. anything from the preview that stood out to either of you?
I'm gonna be honest, I had to mentally tune out by that point.
Yeah, you're gonna have to remind me of some of the details of the preview. I was so tempted again this week at like 9:40 to be like, I can't watch this anymore for the evening. We'll pick up the other 20 minutes tomorrow.
Right. Yeah, I think the only thing that stood out to me is Rodney running naked up the stairs. So,
thanks. You know how I feel about nudity. That's... Not for me, thank you.
No, thank you. All right, so let us get an update of our draft. We are competing against Asia. Asia is beating us, Haley.
To be expected. Shout out to George for getting us the draft results, even though his beloved Atlanta Braves have made the World Series.
Ooh. So Asia has 43. She has 7 people left. She has only lost, Danielle, which was her last draft pick. So good call there. I am only down to 5 people. So I've cut my draft in half.
You're Joe.
Yeah, I do have Joe, so I was feeling good about that. I have Olu. I apparently had Rodney. I didn't know that, so I guess I have to root for the streaking guy. Jamie and Chris S. Okay, he's invisible. And then Haley, you lost Hardeep. You still have your number one pick, Leroy, who's also invisible, but hopefully we'll see more of him.
Yeah.
And so rounding out the scores, let's see, we have Asia with 43. I have 35. Haley, you have 27. So I think I got some with Joe and Jamie. I think that helped me out this week.
Yeah, Asia and I still have the same amount of people left, but she has nearly double the points.
She has an 8 on her team. Yeah. I think she has Rick as well. So... And the Brandon guy. So she got a lot of kiss points.
Yeah, tough luck for me. I don't think I have anyone on my team who's like going to make it past week 5. that's what fun. I get for not doing any research whatsoever on these people.
All right, so let us get into audience questions. All right, this is from Sarah Noor. Do you think they cancel the cocktail party because it's past midnight and they're tired? My friends watching last night kept going, why is she so emotional? And I was like, she tired, y'all. She's just tired. They get this drama on purpose by torturing them to stay awake.
I would also be tired. I don't do well past 10 p.m. Amy knows this whenever we have to podcast past 10 p.m. And I'm like, it's past 10 p.m. Sounds like bedtime. We'd have like morning brunch cocktail parties.
Yeah.
If I was a bachelorette.
You should be podcasting with Asia about Married at First Sight, because every once in a while we have to record in the morning. And it's like, so your 10 p.m. Haley is my 8 a.m. Like,
yeah.
8 a.m. Am I supposed to like remember what happened on the show? But yeah, I could see if you're the lead. You know who you're going to pick. The cocktail party isn't going to make a difference. You would try to pull that move every time. I just don't enjoy it. Because it's just fake drama. Like, the guys act like they had a chance, you know, to make a switch.
I was going
to
tell her about my childhood trauma. And that would have made her keep me.
Right. Rourke, do you know who the next bachelor is? I don't know. Haley, have we talked about it?
We talked about it in the draft. I had
an invisible man who has received no screen time. It's so fucking weird.
I have accidentally stumbled upon it since our last meeting.
Okay, so we all know. Should we acknowledge it or just answer this question as though, because we have a question from Will. Given that we know who the next bachelor is and he's from the season, shouldn't they be trying to highlight him more? I legitimately forgot he existed until the rose ceremony. If they were insistent on choosing this lead, couldn't they have gone? Okay, so we'll have to acknowledge it. So fast forward a little bit if you don't want to know.
I can speculate just from a production standpoint why you'd want a quiet edit to the first little bit here, where if you think of The Bachelor and Bachelorette, not Bachelor in Paradise, but like the two main franchises, as something that sort of goes from high drama and hijinks to love and maybe emotional drama, but less the gossip and sort of ridiculousness among the contestants, then you want this person out of the fray of the bullshit of the beginning. And you want his runway, on ramp, whatever, to be in the emotional back half of the series. And so I have a feeling they'll onboard him shortly, but I don't think
it
it's
show
entirely
up in the preview. It did show.
Oh, good.
Like they actually kiss. we'll do something in the season. Yeah, that makes sense. Like if he's not involved, like it doesn't make a great lead to have somebody that like a Peter or something.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point. I will say that I feel like he's been getting some confessionals that I feel like he's only getting because he's the next lead.
Yeah.
Like he's getting some narration points where I don't think his voice is actually necessary.
Right.
So that's my opinion, is that I feel like he's been showing up more than I expected.
Yeah.
Or like he's almost like out of place in some spots.
Right. Like a reaction, rolling the eyes when Jamie's talking or something. I'm like, I would not even notice that he's there if I didn't know that fact about him, you know. But he just has you paying attention to a little bit more. So Will wants to know, why couldn't they have gone with Rick, who has shown much more charisma? To me, Rick is kind of creepy. Once I saw his head on the platter, that's kind of my thought on that. But and he kind of mumbles, like kind of like a Nick Viall. So that could be. Maybe they don't want to.
I'm really into Casey. I think his confessionals are hilarious. Major robot vibes, but I love it.
Yeah, Casey's like the older one, like 35, and he would sort of had no problem like making digs at the guys.
I also loved how he really nuanced some of his confessionals where they clearly were asking him like, what do people think of Peter? And he goes, I can't speak to others' experience of Peter, but for me, I was like, I love this guy.
And I put words in. Yes. So funny. Justin Feinberg, how long until Will moves in with Aaron and James, the box guy? Will they have more fun bashing Peter or bashing Thomas?
I love this.
I think Peter's the new blood. I think they can't bash Thomas because he's like in a happy relationship
now
with Becca. And like they're, I don't know about that. But I think now they have to lay off of Thomas because he's not a villain in Bachelor Nacion anymore.
Right. And something tells me, like, if Katie were to show up in Paradise, like, I don't feel like she would have, like, the Kufrin, like, okay, like, Becca made the, like, made it okay for a lead to show up after, you know, their relationship ended. But I don't feel like people would think of her as, like, the royalty, you know, because her season was,
No, they'd be like, this is where you belong, Jennifer.
Like, it's not going to rehab your image if you go for the former Bachelorette. And then we have an email from George. Hi, ladies. Thanks for always covering these seasons. Does Michelle have a different definition of friend than us? For the school date, she told the guys she had three friends joining them, and it turned out to be three kids from Central Casting on the basketball.
Thank you.
On the basketball date, her two friends were WNBA players. She's never met these people before, so is there a better word to use than friend? Or is this the teacher in her coming out? How she would introduce to her students anyone visiting her classroom? Oh, that's a good point. Like,
that's a great point.
We have, like, boys and girls, we have some friends joining today. These are my friends. Yeah, because I think in Bachelor world, it's like a friend is Jared and Ashley I or something. Like, it's someone from Bachelor Nation or a true one of her friends. Who selects these singers for the date concerts? How do they manage to find people I've never heard of, but the lead appears to always know? Are they chosen by interns and the lead just pretends to know who they are? I need the bell. Yes. Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah,
or
absolutely.
Does the lead provide a list of their personal favorite but undiscovered talent?
No, I just, the only one I've known in probably the last 5 years was Chase Rice. And it wasn't because of his music.
Yeah. Becca got Robin, guys.
Oh,
lest we fucking forget.
I thought it was Betty Who.
Oh, was it Betty Who? Oh, Robin's way better. Damn, okay.
But she, that was the only one.
Betty Who has a couple bops.
Betty Who does have bops.
And I think, wasn't that Blake that, like, technically, like, planned it or something for his hometown?
Yeah, that was his hometown.
So he knew she liked her. Or the producer's told, you know, but
yeah.
So that's like one of the very few where it's like, oh, this is somebody I actually know. And like, yeah, it's sort of like who, especially now, who is willing to quarantine and like go to Joshua Tree or go to Indian Wells or wherever they have that second portion. Cause I think on Katie's season, like they had to like do a true quarantine at that resort and not speak to anyone and just, you know, so it's not the best, but it is good exposure for them, I guess. And then he also wants to know, are the ads for Senior Bachelor gone? I saw some for regular casting, but don't recall seeing any this week for seniors. Maybe it's already cast. Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe it's. We're not doing it. Amy, we're not doing it. I can't. I cannot do it. I can't do it. If it's in March, I can't do it.
Oh, my gosh.
No, immediately no. I've seen what I need to see and immediately no.
I feel like I'd only tune in if there was some kind of stunt casting, like somebody's mom or something. I would have to watch the premiere. I'd have to know.
Oh my God, Peter's mom.
Yeah. She'd have to host, right? Because she's in a happy relationship.
Yeah, whatever.
Throw
Aunt
in
Lindsay.
There. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, I don't think she's a senior.
She's definitely not. She's my age.
Oh no, we're all old. The geriatric bachelor. There's somebody on that season who's 40.
Yeah.
I did just have a 39-year-old man tell me that he's probably closer to my parents' age. I was like, how the fuck old do you think I am, dude?
What?
Yeah, it was crazy. I was like, no, I'm a month away from being 32. It was fucking wild.
Oh boy.
I did hear Kenny.
Ages, like it's just time has lost all meaning, and so has age.
Kenny and Mari, I heard him on a podcast, and he's like 6 years different from Mari's dad. Like he's 40, her dad is 46.
Oh, that's upsetting.
Yeah. let's see. And then George also says, finally, I miss getting a question in for the premiere. Have you shared what your gimmick would be coming out of the limo? I feel like we have in the past, but I don't ever remember my answer. I think I wouldn't want to do a costume. I think a vehicle, an interesting vehicle, is kind of the foolproof way to go. What do you think, Haley?
My new idea, tandem bicycle, just me on it. Probably fall off. Get them to hop on with me.
That's so cute.
That's really good.
That's really good.
A cute
Except knowing me, I would fall off of it in front of the lead.
But like, that would be charming.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be like the klutzy, quirky girl.
Ugh. Yes.
I know, right?
Rourke, do you have
an
idea?
I'm tired of being the klutzy, quirky girl. You know what, Rourke? I thought about it. I think you might curse me every time you come to my podcast. That week, I suffer a severe injury.
Oh, no.
So last time when you came on the Top Chef podcast, I suffered a bad bike accident in which I...
Oh, yeah, you did.
...fell walking my bike across the street and badly sprained my ankle and scraped my knees real bad. This week, Ethan had made some wooden tombstones to decorate our front yard with. And the four of them together were about 20 pounds. Somehow I knocked them over and they fell on my toes.
Oh, no.
Which hurt real bad and they bled a lot.
Oh, my God.
So as much as I love you, you might not be able to ever come on the podcast
again. Yeah, I was going to say, this is my swan song.
We'll see next time I have you on a podcast. If it happens again, then I know. Okay. Like the third time. You know, that's really that like the breaking. Yeah.
All right, we have one more email. Haley, who is this last one from? Because I think it maybe got cut off.
My bad. I'm not good at sending emails.
So I'll read it and then you can chime in at the end.
I think it's from Jackie.
Okay. She says, love the podcast, makes watching the show better. I saw this interesting Reddit post that looked at the actual jobs of some of the contestants versus what is listed on the screen. The second attached screenshot is for the link. The first screenshot is hysterical. I never watched in time to post a question, but I had a running one that was asked last week about who would you want to show up for Michelle and you didn't mention. Easy from Tayshia's season, who I think would be awesome. Okay, after we got that question, like, then I had all the, like, I could not come up with anyone from Clarentatia's season that wasn't on VIP, but then I realized like there was a ton of them, like Andrew from Katie's season. Clarentatia had
Andrew S is, I love him.
Yeah.
What a mistake Katie has made.
Right.
Seriously.
Justin, like he would be good to show up for Michelle, I feel like.
I like Justin.
From Clarentatia's season, Ben, like I'm not a huge fan, but like I could see him like being another person that they could bring in. Yeah, so there's quite a few. Like, how could I not think of any of these possibilities? But and then how long until there is a pizza date that makes Haley hate eating pizza?
I don't know. I really don't want to hate pizza. I really don't. I do have the screenshot with their careers. Okay.
I want to hear.
So Jamie's is biotech CEO. He started a business called Sanctuaire, which makes air purification systems for homes. Garrett is a tech CEO. He started a company called Dark Energy, which I'm sorry, is barely a tech company, in my opinion. This is from the Reddit post.
Okay.
In my opinion, they make customizable mobile power products for businesses to put their logo on and give to clients and employees. I wouldn't be surprised if this was just drop shipping. Ryan, environmental consultant, owns an environmental consulting company called Fox Onsite Solutions. Peter, pizzapreneur, owns a pizzeria. Definitely a true pizzapreneur. 10 out of 10. Romeo is a mathematician. So that's a data scientist at Ramp, a spending management software. He had a PhD in mathematics, so he definitely gets to call himself a mathematician.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Will is an academic interventionist. Turns out this is real. ZipRecruiter defines an academic interventionist as an educational professional who oversees behavioral and academic issues at school. LT is a yoga guru. He is a personal trainer and a yoga instructor.
Oh, Roddy, see you on Instagram, sir.
And he is Clint Eastwood's long lost grandson. Is that the only reason he's still there? Because we have seen nothing of him.
Oh my God, I couldn't believe he got a rose this time. Rodney is a sales rep, uniform B2B sales representative at Cintas. Chris G, motivational speaker, lead content producer at Skills Canada, a nonprofit that helps youth explore careers and skill trades in tech. Nate is a sales executive. He's a senior account executive at Indeed.com. Spencer is a financial crimes analyst, and he's an anti-money laundering analyst at KeyBank. And that's all we have for that.
Fabulous.
What's the best Chiron career? Pizzapreneur. That's it. Sorry. Is pizzapreneur better than pantsapreneur?
Whatever happened to pantsapreneur? I mean, everybody wants, you need pants, but you also need pizza, and pizza's like more interesting to talk about.
Yeah, but I could wear a dress.
Yeah. True.
But I can't not eat pizza. I don't know if that's a thing.
I'm surprised they haven't done the preneur in between Andy season and now. Because that's the last we saw of the pantsapreneur. Do you have any takes from Doug for this episode?
I do. He's back from vacation. Congrats, Doug, on your vacation. So number one, how long actually until Blake shows up? Second take is a little bit more serious, but I do think it's important. Doug says, please remind folks they can call 1-833-456-4566 in Canada or 1-800-273-8255 if they are thinking of harming themselves and they need someone to talk to. I was upset that these resources were not shown on the online live stream I watch in Canada. Instead, they ran a condom commercial. Please do better, CDTV. I think that is a completely fair request.
Very.
I didn't see it on the live broadcast either. He also says, what's more of a red flag? The fact that Brandon can't spell basic words, his diamond stud earrings, or the fact that he sounds identical to Kate McKinnon's impression of Justin Bieber on SNL? I've done a deep dive on this resort and there's no shell room. Do you think this complete lack of interesting amenities is why Rick needed to resort to a romantic Mad Lib he'd likely found in a children's book section at the airport to impress Michelle? Before
Peter Rick slander.
Sorry, are you a Rick apologist?
I kind of am, actually.
It's okay. Nicole Hearn commented on our Facebook thread and was like, I would simp for Rick. I can't help it. Before Peter said a word, I judged him and determined that I probably wouldn't like him. I kind of felt bad about this character flaw of mine. Then Peter spoke and I celebrated my amazing intuition by eating cold pasta in bed as the episode continued on. Has Tennille Arts become too big for this show? Who is Caroline Jones and what has she done to surpass Tennille Arts or some other artist that one of the cast members hooked up with? And then the last take, Mari, this is directed towards you. I recently watched an episode of AEW Wrestling and was shocked by how closely the petty drama compared to The Bachelor. With that said, I thought you're asking to go on Mari's podcast. That said, I think you should definitely go on Mari's wrestling podcast and offer the perspective that only a delicate person could bring. One day we will go on Mari's podcast. Mm-hmm. We promise.
A dream.
She just records when I work. But that's tough. It is tough. Working. Ugh, why?
Speaking of which, need to return to work.
Oh, sorry, no. Tonight?
Oh, yeah. I work until like 10 usually.
Oh my God. Do not sign me up. Where can people find you? Yes. I didn't even mention that you have a great new podcast that I love listening to every week. And I pretend like I'm in the conversation with you guys. Like I am that meme of like the person looking at the poster while two people talk. But please tell us everything you're up to.
Yeah. So my friend Allie is big on TikTok and I am riding her coattails. She is a dating coach and her brand is called Finding Mr. Height. It is a pun on Finding Mr. Right. We get a lot of heightist comments that we hate on short men, but whatever. Anyway, we do not.
Okay, but for those poor short men, they need to keep in mind that you both are very tall.
Yeah, Allie's like 6'1".
Yeah.
So, yeah. So anyway, so Finding Mr. Height on TikTok and Instagram is her account. The podcast is called Finding Mr. Height. We talk about dating. We answer questions. It's very fun. It's silly. And then we like rant about Fuckboy Island and Bachelor sometimes too.
Yeah. I have been absolutely loving the podcast. I listen every single week. And then I will text Rourke my feelings after.
It's my favorite thing. And then, yeah, I'm private on Instagram, but I accept most requests. REVL12, if you're so inclined.
Amy, where are people finding you these days?
Ooh, we're switching it up. You can find me on Twitter at RHAP Recapper and podcasting about Married at First Sight with our lovely draft partner, Asia Welch. And so that's on the Reality TV Rehab Ups feed.
I joined Rob Cesternino this week on the Feedback Show to talk about Survivor, and that was a heck of a lot of fun. So you can find that in your main feed, or if you want to watch me move around in my chair for an hour and a half, you can check out the YouTube video on Rob Has a Website. Or Rob Has a Podcast YouTube channel. Yeah, follow me on Twitter and Instagram at @hstrong_. Check out everything I'm reading at the Strong Library. That's it. That's all.
I learned from that podcast with Rob that Ethan will step in should you get an injury, Haley.
And yeah, he's down. He's DTP down to podcast.
Perfect. All right, Rourke, thank you so much for joining us. This was so much fun. So we feel very lucky.
Thank you for thinking of me.
Of course. All right. Until next time. Bye.
Bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Shopify helps you sell at every stage of your business. Like that, let's put it online and see what happens stage.
And the site is live.
That we opened a store and need a fast checkout stage.
Thanks, you're all set.
That count it up and ship it around the globe stage.
This one's going to Thailand.
And that, wait, did we just hit 1 million orders stage?
Whatever your stage, businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/listen.